Joining us at our broadcast location at Grounding Stadium right now in his second year as Director of Player Personnel for the Buffalo Bills, Jim Monas. Jim, thank you for coming by. We appreciate it.
Yeah, good to see you, John.
It looks like the rain has finally cleared. Do you believe how nice it is out here today?
Crazy couple days. No, you couldn't predict it.
I know. And it made for kind of long days just trying to figure out when can they practice. How long is this break going to be? But we got through it, and I think the coaching staff is probably happy they got through it.
Yeah, it said a lot about our coaches and players, their mental toughness to get through that and still practice hard and be productive.
You get all the work done. Jim Monas is our guest, the Bills Director of Player Personnel. Let me start with the question that came up a minute ago about Naaman Roosevelt. The caller wanted to know, with all the receiving talent you have, why would you go out and sign Naaman a week or two ago? I think it was the first day of camp you brought him in.
Right, where Naaman's still a guy that, you know, he wants to play and wants to compete, you know, and he's done it in the NFL. We've seen him do it, and he gives our defense a great look and is really helping our offense as far as getting in the mix. And we're not, as far as our defense having to cover somebody, he's a talent. I mean, he's played in the NFL, so it helps our defense, helps our offense. And then he's competing and fighting for a roster spot.
And there's no telling where it goes, right? As far as does he stick, does he not stick, or does he wind up on, you know, somebody else's roster? You don't have those answers yet.
Right, but at the same time, we're going to end up talking about a lot of players tonight. We haven't played one game yet.
Right.
You know, so for him, it's a great opportunity with us and to get on film for other teams.
And Jim, just so people know how it works, you come to camp, you had a need for a receiver, and you probably have either a board or a ready list of guys who are out there on the street you could sign, right?
Every day. So it felt like there for a couple of days we were talking a lot about it, and you know, we hadn't played a game yet, and we're like, you know, with our tight ends and receivers. So actually Bobby Felder came in, he's done a nice job, he had a couple of interceptions today. So
is there an actual board with names that you shuffle around, or you do it electronically, digitally?
Right. At training camp, we have it, you know, on the computer.
Right.
And it's a printout, you know, piece of paper, but not an actual board at training camp.
Yeah. I remember going into A.J. Smith's office when he was with the Bills pro personnel, and he had every team, you know, color-coded players on the walls of his office, and he would shuffle them around if they needed somebody.
Yeah. Tom Gibbons and Rob Hanahan, they have all that ready to roll. Oh, yeah.
Jim Monas, our guest, the Bills Director of Player Personnel, and we want to ask you about this roster. We Pat Kerwin from Sirius XM NFL Radio was here the other day, and I just talked to him briefly, but first words out of his mouth was, there's a lot of talent on this roster, Murph, and I thought, yeah, it's hard to poke holes at what this roster is right now.
Yeah, you know, I think everybody gets excited when you look at this team, but, you know, at the same time, we want the finished product, we want the end result, and that's getting wins, but, I mean, we're very excited, and like you and I were just talking about earlier, I mean, this secondary and defensive line and receiving core, running backs, I mean, You would put that up against any team in the NFL right now.
And you've constructed, you and Doug Whaley and Kelvin have constructed a young roster. There are young pros here, guys with a year or two, maybe 3 years experience.
We feel like that. We feel like, hey, we want to get this thing rolling and keep it rolling.
What? Let's talk about the receiving core for a second, and obviously the coaching staff will determine who's on the 53-man roster, but do you look at the receiving group as like, we need a little bit of this, a little bit of that, there are like component pieces to put in there, or do you just go out and get the best players you can and let them compete?
I think our coaches do a great job of working with what we provide them as far as receivers. You know, I think they mix and match what their skill set is best for the offense.
Because it appears that you have complementary pieces with, you know, a speedster like Goodwin and Mike Williams, a big receiver, and you have like a collection of big receivers. It appears like, you know, there's different roles almost for everybody, you know, preordained almost.
Yep, and I think that's exciting for offense with the different looks we give teams, the different, you know, formations. So I think in personnel groupings, that causes problems.
We all know about Sammy and watched him play, but I've been especially impressed the last few days of Mike Williams and maybe the last 3 or 4 days. The catches that he makes, he continues to play bigger than he looks. I mean, I always look at the roster. I think he's listed as 6'2". He plays like he's 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah, his enthusiasm and work ethic, really, and practice every day. You see it, you know, you're out here every day too. But, I mean, really, he's been nothing but professional and really doing a good job. He's made a play just about every day.
Chris Hogan. Give me your take on his story. We had a chance to talk with him a little bit earlier today. A guy who I tried to get him to say, if I sat Chris Hogan down 3 years ago and said, can you imagine that you might be the number one slot receiver on an NFL team in 3 years? I mean, who would have guessed that based on his background?
No, and it's a credit to his work ethic and self-drive and mental toughness. And, you know, our strength staff, they always talk about he might be pound for pound the hardest worker in the weight room. And he's always working extra, running routes, catching balls, and that's why he's being productive.
Were you with us 2 years ago when they brought in Hogan?
Or
was
he
preceded you?
But last year, I mean, I was with the
you
team
were here last
year
when he played a little bit.
Yes.
Because you must have been aware of them. I mean, it's not a guy who would – a lacrosse player at Penn State, and then he plays 1 year at Monmouth. It's not a guy who would jump out at any scout like, hey, this guy could be a prospect in the league.
No, but I think you would agree from being around him. You've seen his, you know, from having a little, he didn't have a lot of football background, and, you know, you just see his work ethic and now how he's playing.
How is he playing? I mean, I've gone on him, and you can correct me from, yeah, Chris Hogan has a chance to make the roster to, yeah, Chris Hogan maybe he can contribute a little bit. Today I'm thinking, yeah, Chris Hogan's the slot receiver, like with the ones. I mean, he's making plays.
I think with all our players, I really do, that this preseason, they know that the next 5 games that we have is where they make their name for themselves, and they have to do it in those games to make the roster.
Tell me your thoughts on your offensive line. You go out and draft 3 rookies. You bring in Chris Williams. What do you think about your offensive line so far, a couple of weeks into this camp?
Well, we created a lot of competition,
yeah,
and those guys are really fighting, and they're mixing and matching positions right now. The coaches are, you know, they're trying to find the best 5 that we can put on the field, and that's up to the coaches. But you can tell that they're putting guys in different positions because these guys are really playing well, the young guys.
Chris Hairston, if he can stay healthy, would be a really nice comeback story and maybe a help to this offensive line.
I would think that story gets, you know, a lot of publicity.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big-time story that what he's done, his drive and work ethic to get back in shape and play at this level.
One thing that stands out is the size of your offensive line. And you and I were talking before we went on the air about a couple of points the last day or two of practice, the left side of the line in particular with those young guys.
Yeah, well, today they had Richardson at left guard and Henderson at left tackle, so
yeah,
it was hard to see anybody else with those two guys out there.
I want to ask you this: in the offseason, you go into the offseason with CJ and Fred, and then you add a couple of pretty good pieces with Anthony Dixon and Bryce Brown. What's the thinking there? I mean, competition, I get, but what do you think when you go out and add to really arguably the strongest position group on the roster like that?
Doug Whaley always says it: we're never going to turn down a guy that we think can help us win. And if it's somebody we like and value and think he can help us win, we're going to bring him in, regardless of competition.
Anthony Dixon's been a revelation to me, Jim. Tell me what you see from him.
Well, you look back, you know, people forget he got lost in the shuffle out there in San Fran. He was playing fullback. Now he's a core special teams player and takes pride in special teams. But if you go back to when he played in the SEC, he was a big-time tailback. And that's what he is. He's a running back. You see his enthusiasm. He loves playing. He loves running the ball. And he's excited.
Love his energy, and I love what he brings to special teams and offense.
Right. I think guys like him and Brandon Spikes, their energy has just been, you know, you can see it out there. It's been great.
Tell me, let's switch to defense for a second. You brought in Brandon Spikes, pretty high-profile free agent signing. What have you seen from him so far? What do you like about what you see?
So far, it's exactly what he was at Florida and what he's been with the Patriots. I mean, Brandon Spikes loves to play football. You know, he's a big physical guy. Everybody knows that. But he's energetic. He's vocal. And other, you can see the guys feed off of him.
Do you look at him as more than just a run stuffer, like a thumper in the middle? Is there another role for him to play? It's not your call, obviously, but you've seen him play, obviously. You looked at a lot of video over the years.
Right. He had a heck of an interception the other day, right?
Yeah.
Down the middle in cover two, changed directions, undercut the route, and made a great pick. So, I mean, he's done that stuff over the years. You wouldn't say that's his strong,
right,
you know, positive asset, but, I mean, he's done it.
Tell me your thoughts on Preston Brown, third-round pick, who plays behind Brandon, but maybe someday will play alongside of him soon.
Right, and I think Preston, I mean, he's come in and just done everything the coaches have asked him to do as far as learning the offense, working hard. You know, all the rookies are always going to be swimming a little bit mentally, and once that catches up, but their effort and physical skills, it's showing up.
Up front, defensive line, we all know the Pro Bowlers, obviously, Mario, Kyle, and Marcel, but Jerry Hughes at times in this camp through 2 weeks seems unblockable.
Jerry plays, he's relentless, he loves to play the game, he loves to practice, and that skill set's tough when he's coming off the edge like that, and his ability to, he has counter moves, he's a tough block one-on-one.
It's hard for me as an outsider and an observer to kind of find out where all these guys fit, those guys up front, Hughes and maybe Manny Lawson. I know Coach Schwartz has an idea of it. Do you know what he's looking for up there and maybe the different kind of combinations he may want to play up there on the defensive
line? Well, I think I know what he's looking for just from talking to him, but at the same time, this is what he has, and he's going to make it work with what he has.
So you're telling me he's pretty flexible?
He's very flexible. He'll find what their strength is, and that's what he'll do the best, you know, put them in the best position to utilize their strength.
Regardless of whether people want to call it 3-4, 4-3.
It wouldn't surprise me if you saw Marcel at defensive end sometimes, you know, every now and then,
yeah,
you know, stuff that you wouldn't think about. But, I mean, I think he's open to anything.
As a personnel guy, how do you go about getting players for a coach like that?
Well, we met with Coach Schwartz, you know, in the spring before the draft and free agency, and obviously we were switching defenses, and we knew we needed to get some linebackers, you know, switching defenses like that, and that's why we brought in Keith Rivers, Brandon Spikes, Preston Brown, you know, Ty Powell's working in there very well. Sylvester from Steelers is doing well, so we knew we needed a different skill set at linebacker.
Jim, the back end of your defense, I know you like very much. Tell me about the defensive backfield, who you like back there, and what do you see?
The real good addition free agency-wise right now has been Corey Graham. He's done a really good job. You can tell he's a veteran, knows how to play, competes every day. He's been a real nice surprise, I think, for us because, you know, we feel like Gilmore and McKelvin, hey, they've done it. You know, we feel very good about them. And safety-wise, you know, Aaron Williams coming off last year, just keep building on that. And the other position, you know, Searcy and Duke Williams, they're going to be battling.
A caller earlier who thought Searcy could be the most improved player from last year to this year. Do you think that could be?
Oh, I wouldn't disagree with that. I mean, I'm looking forward to watching this play out here the next couple of weeks.
One of the things about Searcy, it seems to me, and again, this goes to Coach Schwartz, he's finding different ways for him to get on the field. I mean, he's out there kind of like a Mike linebacker in some of the pass, you know, sub packages, isn't he?
You've been around, John. I mean, John, you're seeing it. I mean, that's what he's doing, though. You're right. You see where he's putting them. I mean, he's putting them in the best spots for him to make plays.
When does from a personnel guy, is there a point when you expect your coaching staff to stop with the experimentation and say, let's lock in and get ready to play against the Bears?
They know when to do that.
They know when.
Yeah, they've done this. They know when to do that. So right now it's about installing. And when it's time to game plan, they'll be ready.
And there has been a lot of installation, which I think you mentioned to me before we came on, may contribute to some of the bugs and the offensive side, at least the first week. I'm telling you, I think the last four practices, offense has been clicking at a pretty high rate.
Right, and I think that's what, you know, gets lost sometimes, how much, you know, volume of plays these guys are trying to learn and try out and play and see what's working, what's not working. And as you reduce that, especially when you game plan during the season, it's not nearly the amount of plays that we'd be, you know, using in training camp.
Jim, you had your scouts, the college scouts were in last week, I believe, and now they're gone. What goes on with those scouts, that scouting staff, when they're here, and then where do you send them off to?
Right, well, we sit down with them and get ready for the fall, have them map out their schedules, kind of give them their schools where we want them to go. And then they do their schedules. At the same time, they're helping us evaluate our team, why they're here. You know, it's only 1 week.
Do they write reports?
They do.
What they see?
They give a one-line. They rank the players, give a one-line summary on a guy just from what they saw that week. And it helps us, you know, helps coach. Coach likes to look at that stuff. So.
And then they go off into their separate ways. What about you in the personnel department? What do you do now?
Right. A lot of what we're doing right now is getting ready for this preseason. The pro scouting department, myself, Doug Whaley, we're going to be constantly looking at other teams' players, guys we've identified as bubble players that might get cut that could help us win.
People asked last week, the first week or, you know, 10 days of camp, when there was roster churn at the bottom of the roster, what were you looking for, and why so much turnover at the bottom end of the roster?
Maybe? Well, injuries play a part of that,
right,
too. I mean, you know, we felt good with the roster we had coming in and little things that happen injury-wise, and you got to be ready and bring in guys that can still compete and help, you know, hopefully make your team if they're good enough.
Last question, when you get into now the preseason phase, which the Bills and Giants will start before anybody else this Sunday, you and your staff go out and scout the other preseason games, right? Do you look at other teams?
We do. We look at other teams. We'll be looking at certain players, not necessarily teams.
Okay.
We'll have our college scouts looking at certain teams. But Doug Whaley and myself, we'll kind of narrow it down to positions we think, you know, we might be looking for.
And then the cuts hit twice, late August, early September, and you go after the waiver wire.
Right, the madness begins, like undrafted free agency after the draft.
And do you look at that as a chance to – how much can you get better from somebody else's cuts? I mean,
well, I look at it this way. I mean, initially last year, if you think about it, we took Ty Powell and Stephon Charles off practice squads from other teams.
That's right, yeah.
So, I mean, there's value in it for sure, spending the time on it to know, hey, I like that guy. If he's on another practice squad, boom, grab him.
And I would think that you hope you're not in a position like you maybe were last first week of September when you had to find a kicker all of a sudden and find a quarterback to step in. I mean, that's kind of a kick in the gut for a team that gets through preseason and all of a sudden you got to scramble for key players.
Coaches might tell you differently, but for me, I just want guys to stay healthy right now.
Yeah,
you know,
I bet you do.
They have a whole – the coaches want guys to learn and all that and do the right things. We just want to stay healthy because, I mean, we like the team we have right now.
Well, you should. Thanks for coming by and talking to us about it, Jim. We appreciate it.
One thing I wanted to compliment you guys on, John, I get a lot of compliments from friends and family on the draft coverage that you guys did.
Oh, thanks.
I just wanted to say the website that my friends and family really enjoy looking at that.
Oh, so that's good. Yeah, well, you helped out a lot down at the Combine. We had a good conversation at the Combine. Thank you for that.
Yep.
We don't get many compliments.
I'll take
from the
it.
Football department anyway.
I'll take it. Stay all night. Keep them coming.
Thanks, Jim. We appreciate it.
Thanks, John.
Jim Monas is the Bills Director of Player Personnel joining us. We've got more to come, and you can phone in your nominations, your thoughts on who might be the most improved player on this Bills roster this year. Phone lines open, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from Training Camp on Buffalo Bills Radio.